Blog Talk Radio. Wow.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Hey, I'm by nine over Duke right now, too.
Yes, sir. The whole back.
One of Duke's best players. Let's go.
Gentlemen, America, we are really excited to bring you another edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. I will say this disclaimer. America, stop messing with Cowboys. Because if they win, they're going to be uncomfortable. I mean, all these memes are going on right now. If they win, we're never going to live it down. But anyway, it's good to see Curtis and Gary on the West Coast. Good to see you, Rob. Jakey will come in shortly. I'm sorry, DJ. How are you supposed to see me, sir?
Oh, man, you know I am living fantastic. I'm living on ball time gravy right now. We ain't got to talk about 31 years and Mike Tirico saying it every 5 minutes in the broadcast. I'm so pleased we can stop talking about that foolishness. Let's go, Bengals.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, I have to show that O.J. Simpson picture anymore either.
Yeah. Rob was going in. All those texts in the morning, I was cracking up, man. So, anyway, it's all good. Let's check in with Rob Ford, the aforementioned him. How you feeling, sir? He's on fire.
Yeah. Hey, the cowboy memes were nonstop, man. That poor lady, man. Show her picture on everything.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, wait. I didn't have any part of that,
buddy.
Curtis, Gary. Just to let you know, I didn't have any part of that, Curtis and Gary. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey,
you know.
I know how she feels. Curtis and I were here watching the game together, and what a disappointment. And you know what? The Niners had a good game plan and all, but when you've got that many penalties or that many yards in so many critical situations, it's your own fault. It's your coaching. They have
definitely
the talent. They have the team. We're on the Fire McCarthy bandwagon over here in the West Coast.
Oh.
Whoa.
Who are you going to replace him with?
Zeke Elliott and $90 million he's making?
Oh, dang.
That's
Jake Hughes, boy.
Hey. He's playing with a torn PCL. Fire Mike McCarthy. That's an undisciplined team. 14 penalties. And a draw with 14 seconds. That got shit to do with Zeke. That's got everything to do with McCarthy.
Yeah.
You stop it.
31 yards rushing. Those three defensive line penalties in the fourth quarter, too.
Killed them.
Yeah, you know, that was horrible. You know, that does fall on the coaching staff. But to address Zeke, I think he's had to go for a couple of years now. You remember when he was hurtling over guys and running for 60. Now we're happy if he gets 3.5 yards. 4 yards.
Go ahead, Connie.
Hey, I got the Cowboys picking Kenneth Walker from Michigan State in the second round.
Okay,
oh,
go ahead,
wow.
Connie. Watch those and ball out.
I never seen JQ get this cut. He's kind of passionate right now, man. So, okay.
He's only saying that because he's from Ohio State. Trust me.
That dude is out there playing with a torn PCL with a lineman knee brace. So let that dude go ahead and get help and cut him and go ahead and go somewhere else and see what happens. All I'm going to say, if he don't do it, you can talk about me as much as you want to. But I'm not putting that on Zeke.
If Zeke Elliott went to Ball State, JQ wouldn't be saying this. He only saying he's going to go to Ohio State. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, listen,
Oh my God.
Cutting.
This is awesome.
Cut that man. So, cut that man. Let him do nothing. And go somewhere else. Now let's see what we talk about on these shows.
Okay. All right. Well, you clearly see that JQ is definitely ready to roll, man.
He's
so,
still an NFL back. Don't get me wrong, but he's not worthy of a $90 million contract.
Hey, there's
anymore.
No drinking and driving.
Okay.
He's no drinking and driving water in Georgia
and Atlanta.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love
you
it.
Know,
you
know that dude with the Ball State. You won't be taking up on him like this.
Okay.
JQ, you're not online yet, but when you get there, you're going to see that I'm wearing my dad's Rams jacket. So now I'm rooting for the Rams.
Well,
and if the Rams lose,
Rams should have an easy victory.
If the Rams lose,
it's
baseball season.
Yankees got the Yankees underneath there. What else you got underneath the Yankees shirt? You got something else underneath the Yankees, Gary? You got something else underneath
the Yankees? If the Rams lose,
I'm
going to
pull up the
baseball season.
Hey, Gary, you coach the coach right there, huh? From the Rams to the Yankees.
JQ. He's got like a Rams, but he's got a Yankees, he's got a Blazers underneath there. That's what
he got. Hey.
That would be awesome.
I've got my Blazer boxers, and I'll show you guys if you don't knock it off.
No.
That's all right. Turn the camera off, Andre.
Oh,
hey,
no.
The only one here that's seen him is Rob.
Okay. That's all. We are going off the rails here, but it's okay. Oh man, America! This all started whenever we didn't
want to
talk
true,
about all the cowboy memes, man. So it's all good. So we're going to jump right into this because I have nothing else to do here. Let's jump right in. Since, Gary, you are wearing the Rams, you know, pullover, obviously in honor of your dad, can Matthew Stafford lead the Rams to a national or NFC championship game? So the floor is yours, Gary, West Coast. What you got for this one?
I think he can. I think, you know, they're all in. That's what the Rams are all in this year for, with, you know, getting, building up that defensive line, bringing in Von Miller, and, you know, they've already got the beat. Brought in Matthew Stafford. And I don't know anybody in the league that can slow down Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's just one of
Cooper Kupp is amazing. Yeah.
You know, he's phenomenal. So I was wondering how they were going to do against Arizona, and they showed that Arizona is just like the Cowboys, you know, pitching. So now we got to
just like
they got to move on.
Just like
now they got to move on. They got to play
Arizona. Arizona pretty much fell apart in the last six, seven games of the season. They were just heading in the wrong direction. So, I mean, that was a no-brainer last night. Hey, I hope the Rams can beat the Buccaneers on this Sunday. But I would feel more confident as a Rams fan. Hey, if the Rams win their last game in the regular season against the 49ers, they're the number two seed, they're playing this game at home this Sunday, I would feel really confident about the Rams if that was the case. I think it's going to be tough. You know, as much as I would like to see them go on the road and beat the Buccaneers, I think it's going to be tough, you know, flying cross-country on a short schedule. After playing a Monday night game for them to go on the road and beat the Tom Brady team. But I think it's going to be a close football game. I really do. I think the Rams got to get healthy in the secondary, especially going against Tom Brady. You know, they played with both of their starting safeties out of the game the other night. Played with a 37-year-old Eric Weddle back there. I think they're going to have to get healthy if they don't have any chance to win this game. But I'm going to pick the Bucs to win this one 31-28 in the shootout. But definitely pulling for the Rams.
Hold on, because this is full. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What you doing
over
there? Yeah, no. Hell no. Listen. the reason why they won that game is because I don't know what the hell was going on with Kyler Murray in that game.
That was just foolishness.
We're going to find out. The only way the Rams beat the Bucs is if Tristan Wilfs and Jefferson, the center, can't play. If those two dudes play and can play 80% of what they normally can play, the Bucs win by 10.
Yeah, I'm worried about Tristan Wilfs there. If he can't go, that could really hurt the Bucs, you know, the right tackle position.
That's the only reason why the Eagles got back in that game is because the offensive line was banged up. They were getting destroyed. And I just don't trust Matthew Stafford. Like, he didn't have to do anything in that game because that interception by Kyler Murray was one of the worst interceptions I think I've maybe ever seen. Just taking 2 points, bro.
He looked like
Don't give him an additional five.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Kyler Murray looked
like Matthew Stafford
in the way he played that game better than.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
You talk about just like kind of like just everything was falling apart, man. Just, you know, I don't know if it was nerves or him just like, you know, just like you said, Rob, they didn't play good the past couple of, you know, last games. And you know, like you said, you really can't believe that their offense fell that much apart, you know, missing the DeAndre Hopkins like that, too. It's just been tough, you know, but the injuries losing Buda Baker.
Curtis wants to say something. Yeah. Hey, just a second. Curtis wants to say something on the game. Go ahead, Curtis.
Go ahead.
Curtis just wanted to say that his voice is a little soft right now, but what he wanted to say is that, you know, the slow start that the Cowboys had was that, you know, that's what another thing that cost them. But as Curtis and I talked about before, what type of team beat Tom Brady? The type of teams with a dominant pass rush, because he's 0-2 against, you know, those Giants.
Those Jets.
You know, those Giants in the Super Bowl.
With a four-man rush. Dominant pass rush with a four-man rush. You can't blitz them.
So if they can if they can make him uncomfortable, even though he has a lot of quick out passes and this sort of thing, if they can get to him, stomp him on his chest a few times like they would in the '70s. They would.
Man.
But if they can get to him and knock him around, that's the only way the Rams can beat him.
You talk about the Rams playing without their starting safety. They talk to dude off his couch. He's been sitting on his couch for 2 years. And they're gonna start him? And it's Tom Brady?
37 years old.
He's only 37 years old.
Is Gronkowski coming down the middle?
Weddle, man.
Good luck.
Stop it. That dude was on his
couch watching Golden Girls reruns. And now he's playing in the divisional playoff game? Come on, man.
That's a tribute to Betty White.
Golden Girls. If Curtis goes to Golden Girls, now we might think to him.
I'm just saying, you can't bring Eric Weddle off his couch and say, go stop Brady and Gronk coming down the middle. Listen, they better hope that Tristan Wilson's hurt, like hurt, and his backup is hurt. We're on the third string, because if that ain't the case, the Rams in trouble. They in trouble.
Give me a score.
And even with that, you know, Brady gets rid of the ball quickly. You got to have a good pass rush for the four-man rush, and you got to play that cover two defense to stop those crossing routes and stop them from getting over the top. And that's the only way you're going to be effective against Brady. Otherwise, you're just going to pick your part.
31-20, Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like dissecting this. He's like digesting this. Okay. What's my comeback for this? He got nothing. Curtis, no.
He's
looking Curtis.
He's disrespecting the Golden Girls now, and that's where I got to draw the line.
I love me some rolling for Blanche. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, you can't bring somebody out there watching the Weed Network and say, come guard Tom Brady. You know,
Home and Garden Television.
Like,
Well, JQ is definitely domesticated. He knows the network and everything. That's impressive, JQ. It's all good.
Yeah, it is.
We know we hear Lou in the background as well. He's joining us too. So we're gonna get through a couple of predictions. We know that JQ is on cloud nine, but we'll see how it gets a little more interesting here because they go against. Yeah, you're rocking that. They're going against the Titans in this matchup. So the word on the street is that Derrick Henry's been resting and practicing. We don't know if he's going to play. Now, if Derrick Henry plays, JQ, is the option to play keep away from Joe Burrow and make sure that they're not going to have that explosive offense on the field? What say you about this? And this is going to be a very intriguing match, a very, very good game. I'm very excited to this game.
So I'll be honest with you. I'm going to take Tennessee, and the only reason why I'm taking Tennessee is the fact that the Bengals lost both of their defensive tackles in that game against the Ravens. So if you're watching this from an objective standpoint, if they get Derrick Henry back, and even if they don't, the way that Tennessee wants to run the ball and protect Ryan Tannehill is to run, flash and pass, AJ Brown, Julio. The Bengals losing their top two defensive tackles, one they put on the injured reserve this week, the other one they're not sure they get back at all. So they're talking about trying to get on the free agent market as defensive tackle in the second round of the playoffs. These dudes are on the street for a reason, right? If they were dudes that could come in and be a difference maker, they would already be on the team. So, I'm on cloud nine. Oh, listen, the Bengals were ahead of schedule. I was hoping to win eight games and just show progress. For them to win the division and win the playoff games, to me, they are a year, maybe 2 years ahead of schedule right now. So I'm not going to sit here and act like we're going to win the Super Bowl because we beat the Raiders. So that's not the truth. I probably would have taken the Bengals if they had been healthy on the defensive line. And then you also have Hendrickson, who had a concussion in that game against the Raiders, and you still don't know if he's going to play. So you're talking about three of your top four defensive linemen maybe not playing against the game. And Tennessee, with Derrick Henry coming back, as much as I want the Bengals to win, as much as I want to root against my pick, it's just hard for me objectively not to pick Tennessee given their defensive line struggle. The best way to beat a good quarterback and a good offense is to keep their ass on the bench. And I think that's what Tennessee's going to do.
That's something.
Hey, my prediction on this game is conditional if Derrick Henry plays or not. I totally agree. If Derrick Henry is healthy and he's playing in this game, I was going to mention the same thing with Cincinnati having those defensive tackles out. I like Tennessee in this game, but it can control the clock, maybe get ahead of the Bengals. Tennessee has got a ferocious pass rush, Harold Landry having an outstanding season. And you don't want to get behind the Tennessee and let them unleash those that pass rush. But I think if Derrick Henry doesn't play in this game, I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals to go on the road and win this game. They're going to run the football. They're going to have to run the football with Joe Mixon to try to negate that pass rush. So, obviously, you're still going to have to mix in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But I think Joe Mixon is going to have to be a huge key for them in running the football to negate that pass rush in Tennessee Titans. So, to me, this game is all about Derrick Henry plays in Alpha Tennessee. If he doesn't, I like the Bengals. If he does, I like the Titans.
I agree with that. Curtis agrees with that. What I would say is I don't agree with that. I think the Bengals, it's going to come down to quarterback play, quarterback mistakes and non-mistakes, and Burrow's a much better quarterback. I think Cincinnati is going to win this game. This would be my first game back, so I think that I'm going with the GOATs team, and I think the GOAT in this podcast would actually have picked him, but he doesn't want to jinx his team this week, and I understand that. But I am going with the GOATs team. I'm going with Cincinnati, 27-23.
Yep. I hope you are right.
And they're going to be way ahead of schedule. And after they win then it's anybody's game. Once you get there, it's just. Go Bengals. In this
If they win the Super Bowl, baby number three on the way. No, bullshit.
Wow.
Dang. Does Erica know about this plan, JQ?
Does Erica know about this?
Not at all. Erica is not approved of this plan.
I didn't think so. There was a...
name him Gary.
You got to name... What you going to name it? Burrow? You going to name it Gary Burrow? What you going to name it? What you going to name
it? Nah, man. I got to get... Maybe. I got to make sure he can get a job. So his name damn sure won't be Jaquan Jr.
There was a... you remember that... that's funny, JQ.
Yeah.
You remember that commercial they had the Super Bowl where all the babies that were born from the Super Bowl... Like, it was like they had... There's a... That's what it reminds me of, all the kids that were born after the Super Bowl. Like,
oh, yeah.
The Super Bowl babies. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you can't name J.J. Jenkins. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
I kind of name him Chase Burrow.
Hey, Chase Burrow Jenkins is a solid banker. A solid banker name.
Chase Jenkins is a good name. I like that name. Chase Jenkins could actually work out, man. Chase Burrow Jenkins. How about that? They're going to know where you're coming from, man. Jenkins, no? I was going to say real quick, I kind of agree with Gary because, like, it sets it up that Joe Burrow can have an amazing game. You know, one of the situations where he can come through, make a good comeback, where I can see it kind of happening in that 27 thing. But like I said, it does depend on if Derrick Henry's healthy. If he's healthy, that's going to be really challenging for the Bengals, especially with, like I said, the defensive tackles out. I thought you guys had somebody on the practice squad, but I guess you guys don't have him on the practice squad as well, too. So you guys are – that's going to be really tough, man.
If he's on the practice squad, that means he's on the practice squad for a reason. That's my point.
For
like,
a reason,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
If he was that dude, he would be on the roster.
You can store certain characters, but I get you, you know, players. But, you know, no, very, very exciting game, honestly. I'm kind of excited to see this, too. All right, let's go back to
I'm pulling for the Bengals all the way
there
in this one, too. But I tell you what, if Cincinnati was healthy on the defensive line, I would pick them to win regardless. I really would.
Agreed.
You know, I know, JQ, you went on the
We're
show last
well.
Week, but I said the Bengals got an outside chance of making it to the AFC Championship game. I said that on the show last week because my thought process was in beating the Raiders and having a good chance of beating the Titans. And that not knowing a defensive tackle is going to get hurt this past Saturday,
right.
You know, what they were talking about it on last week. But if they were healthy on the defensive line, I would pick them outright in this game, regardless of if Henry plays or not.
They got a fantastic draw. I'll give them that. They got a great draw, given what happened.
Yeah.
No Kansas City, no Buffalo to the NFC Championship game. That's a great draw.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, let's kick this off. We got the 49ers at the Packers, and I'm going to save West Coast for the next one, if you will. But we already talked about the Rams and the Bucks. So we'll go. As much as I want to like dig that dagger into Gary and Curtis, you know. So we talk about the 49ers had a good game plan. Another interesting dichotomy was the fact that you had Shanahan versus Quinn. You know, kind of you know what happened here. And Quinn still couldn't stop it, you know. And I was actually, again, I have to harken back to my 5-minute conversation about Quinn actually hired Shanahan because it was so difficult to scheme against him. You know, he was just tough, you know, and he just always has his way just running through a lot of teams. So now he goes against, you know, his protege with Matt LaFleur. You know, obviously, if you're picking this game, you probably would give an edge, obviously, to Packers because, you know, Aaron Rodgers, what he's been playing, and we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, that dude he's still surviving on a string, man, it seems like, man. But if they run the ball.
He's
you know,
surviving off that running game. That's what he's surviving off.
Exactly, you know. So that's what you got to think. But you got to throw, man. You're not going to be like Mac Jones and throw for like three times, if you will, too. Joey Bosa, you know, got to figure out hopefully he'll be healthy. So there's a couple interesting storylines in this game, too. So, JQ, start with you again. I'm not going to pick on West Coast just yet. We'll come back to that. I'll let you guys kind of think about that, too. But what do you think about this one, man?
Man, oh, man. I love my buddy Mike. But we've seen the story before where the 49ers have gone to Green Bay and run all over Green Bay. It's tough. Like, I think Green Bay has the better team, but I feel like Dallas also has the better team. And it didn't work out. But Garoppolo Aaron Rodgers is different than Dak. I think Aaron is on a mission. this year. He asked about it last year. I want the road to come through Green Bay, and it almost did. They lost to Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. Do I trust Garoppolo and they're playing that game at 8:15 at night on Saturday at Lambeau? It's probably going to be stupid cold. But that San Francisco philosophy travels, right? Play good defense, run the ball, keep the opposing quarterback on the sideline. So I struggle with this, but I really feel like Aaron Rodgers is on a mission. Even if he don't win the MVP this year again, which I think he probably should, 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions is just dumb. They're getting really healthy at the right time, and they survived that war. We talked about what happened in Cincinnati last week. We talked about Warner getting hurt, for the 49ers defense. Garoppolo also has a shoulder injury. So having to play that extra game introduces more variance into the next game because of the injuries. And I feel like Green Bay is getting – I think Green Bay's health and Aaron Rodgers' mindset of these MFers wanted to get rid of me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to go with Green Bay, but I think this is a really good game. At Lambeau, just because I think San Francisco can keep the game close with the running game. I think Aaron Rodgers makes 2 more plays than Garoppolo can ever make in his whole lifetime. And I take Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with that selection of Green Bay. I think San Francisco is going to be able to run the ball against Green Bay. I really do. But here's where I think they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to score touchdowns in the red zone. And I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I think between the 20s, I think you're going to see San Francisco have success running the football in this football game. They usually do that Kyle Shanahan offense. So I think just like against the Cowboys, I mean, they only scored 2 touchdowns in that game. They had 7 field goals. So I think San Fran is going to – I'm going to say they're going to score 23 points yet again. They're going to settle for field goals. And only 2 touchdowns in this game, and that's going to be the difference. I think Green Bay's offense will be able to put up enough points on the board. They're getting healthy on the offensive line. They got a 1-2 punch at running back. They got the weapons on the perimeter. I like Green Bay in this one, 33-23, winning at home over the 49ers. Like I said, I think 49ers are going to have success running the football. They're just not going to be successful in the red zone getting touchdowns.
Can you guys hear Curtis okay?
No, you may have to repeat that, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, he said San Francisco's not afraid of Green Bay. That's the big thing. You know, they've got they've got this offensive line, this defensive line. That's where they beat up the Cowboys. The problem that I see, and Curtis will probably agree with me on this, is the quarterbacks again. Just like against the Cowboys, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to make a mistake. That's his MO. You know,
right.
They run. They have a couple of really good passes. It's Jimmy G time and all this. And then he throws a duck. And it gets picked off. And, you know, either they run it back or it just changes the whole complexion of the game. So Jimmy G will be the MVP of the game for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. It's a good call. And, hey,
yeah.
The Green Bay has got Zaire Alexander back too, and that secondary is much better when he's back there. I can assure you that. But they're going to have most of their success running the football. You know, another key factor in this game 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game, that game was in San Francisco. This game is in Lambeau. And Green Bay is coming off of playing the game when Green Bay is coming off playing the bye. I think that's going to factor into this game, too. You know, Green Bay will be fresher. They'll be at home. They'll be motivated. San Francisco has got to come to play in that cold weather after playing the game this past weekend. Like I said, I think they're going to be able to run the football on Green Bay. I really do. But I just think they're going to wind up settling for too many field goals. And not enough touchdowns, and Green Bay is going to put touchdowns on the board.
Yeah. So give me a score, Rob.
I'm going 33-23, Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
That's 10. Okay. All right, let's get the last game here. We got the Bills at the Chiefs, if you will. So this is a very interesting matchup.
This might be the game of the weekend.
I'm going to start with I know, JQ, hold that thought. I'm going to start with the West Coast here, see what they say about this one, too, because, you know, again, is this Josh Allen's time to shine, or does it still go through, Arrowhead? Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I just asked Curtis, I said, who do you pick in this one? And Curtis says, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. So we believe that, you know, the home team is going to win this game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, we agree.
I think it's going to be a shootout myself. I would say 31-28. And I'm going to go with Kansas City as well.
I think it's going to be a close at all.
I don't think it's going to be close at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lou didn't think so either. Go ahead, JQ.
Okay. Who are you picking, JQ?
Oh, I'm picking Buffalo. Have you seen that Kansas City secondary? They let Ben Roethlisberger put 21 points up for no reason at all. And I saw what Buffalo did to Bill Belichick and those Patriots. Listen, Kansas City got a little warm in the middle of the season against some so-so competition. What Buffalo did to that New England defense, with Bill Belichick having seen them twice already, so he's already got stuff on deck that he thinks he can do against Buffalo, going to a third game, and they got their doors blown off. I really feel like Buffalo, remember what was happening in Kansas City? They're going to go into Kansas City and act a complete monkey. I believe that. I believe they win that game by 13 points. I do. And I told you before the season started, Buffalo's my Super Bowl pick, so I'm staying with them. But the Kansas City defense is not good. It really isn't. They get up on teams, and then they can pin their ears back and rush the passer a little bit and make another team one-dimensional. They're not going to be able to do that to Buffalo. Buffalo's going to be able to run the ball. You saw what Knox did, two touchdown passes. You still got Diggs. And you got to remember, Allen, when everything breaks down, not only is – did you see what he said? And got like 15 yards on that dude. Like, Josh Allen is still a beast in the open field when things break down. I got Buffalo on it. In a shocker this weekend, I think they upset Kansas City by 13 in Arrowhead.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think it's a shocker if that happens. Buffalo, as you mentioned, they're playing. I think this could be the game of the weekend. I really do. But, yeah, I really don't think it's a shocker if that happens. Buffalo is playing lights out right now. They're hot at the right time. I think the Chiefs are hot at the right time, too. I think the deciding factor in this game is going to be Kansas City at home. I think that's going to be the difference. I think this game is going to be a shootout. You know, Buffalo still doesn't have the best cornerback in the secondary either. And they're going against Mahomes and not Mac Jones. They're going against Kelsey and Hill and not against no-name wide receivers, dudes who shouldn't be starting. So I'm going to go – but it wouldn't be a shocker if Buffalo wins this game because I think Buffalo is playing outstanding. I think these two are the two best teams in AFC, and we just going to so happen to see them in the divisional round. I think both of these teams are capable of going to the Super Bowl and winning. But to me, the deciding factor is going to be the home field advantage. I'm going to go Kansas City 38, Buffalo 35 in the shootout.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be the game of the weekend.
I don't know. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah. If White was that cornerback for Buffalo, I would give Buffalo the slight edge.
Yeah,
but I think
fine,
hey, they need their secondary just as much as Kansas City needs theirs against the weapons they have as well.
Well, I would take Buffalo's secondary over Kansas City's secondary, and the issue is that Kansas City doesn't want to be patient. Kansas City can do that when you're playing a bad team. You can jump on front of them, and then they start to press, and then you can take advantage of their weaknesses. If Buffalo gets out in front of this game, I see Mahomes starting to press and not want to take the check downs and everything we talked about all year long and trying to get right back in the game and miss it. And you see Patrick Mahomes running outside, throwing three-quarter passes across the middle of the field and all the kind of foolishness. So to me, it comes down to who can get out to a 7 doesn't lead, maybe a 10-3 lead first and make the other team press. And right now, the way Buffalo is playing, I feel like Buffalo can do that quicker than Kansas City because Kansas City does not want to be patient. But you can prey on that with them because they don't want to be patient. I just feel like Buffalo is playing better than Kansas City is right now. Buffalo is a whole problem. And that playing at night in a cold condition, you saw that those conditions, Buffalo. Didn't faze them. They went 7-7.
-6 wind chill.
They went 7-7. I know that wasn't home, but still, they was crisp and there was nothing. They was doing anything they wanted to do against a Bill Belichick orchestrated free agency spending New England defense. And they did what they wanted to do against New England. And I looked at that Kansas City team. You saw what Joe Burrow and them did to them. You saw them give up points where they should have given up points to a bad Pittsburgh team. You let Buffalo go against that defense, Kansas City's in trouble.
Gary, what did Curtis have to say? Does Curtis have anything else to add to that?
I'm going to Kansas City. I think they're going to start fast and hold on. And they're going to hold on. It could be the game of the weekend.
He's going with Kansas City. You didn't hear him. I think Kansas City's going to start fast, and they're going to hold on.
Wow. So
they better start faster than they did against Pittsburgh.
That's a true statement. All right. So with that,
that is true.
We got to think about the Super Bowl predictions. So JQ, are you standing by the fact that you think that Buffalo will be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl? And then who's going to be the NFC side? Is that the Packers? I mean, what do you have for this? And we're going to go around the country here. Go ahead.
I'm going to go Buffalo, Green Bay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay. Rob, what about you?
I like Chiefs and the Packers in the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes.
Nice.
In the quarterback classic. But I do think the winner of the Chiefs-Bills game is going to the Super Bowl.
Wow, nice. Curtis, Gary?
It would be hard to see Tannehill in the Super Bowl. So he's wanting Kansas City, and who are they going against? Green Bay?
Yeah, probably.
And it's gonna be that's what we think it's gonna be too, is Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes shootout.
Okay. All right.
But anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean.
And guess whose team is still in it? JQ's team is still in it. Anything can happen.
That's a good call. Good call. Yep. Well, like I said, I think it'll be an exciting weekend. And like I said, it seems like everyone is on the same page as far as the NFC representative with the Packers here. Just, looks like, Aaron Rodgers has been playing lights out, like you talked about, JQ, going insane. 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's on a mission, too. So we'll see if he can continue that, if you will. Like I said, we're still kind of iffy on what happens if that upset with the Bills, like you talked about, JQ, or if it's going to be, again, the Kansas City Chiefs as kind of, West Coast and half of the podcast is leading, if you will.
You talk about a team that's in 3 straight Super Bowls. You know how hard that is to do? That's what it means for. I'm a zeros and ones guy.
Yeah.
3 straight Super Bowls is super hard to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me ask
I mentioned this on a previous show. The only thing that worries me about the Packers, if I'm not mistaken, I think the only playoff team the Packers have beaten this year is the Cardinals.
And the Bengals?
And the Bengals. I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Those only two.
See how you are?
Dan, you made him talk about his own team, Rob. The Bengals, Dan.
I'm just saying, they did. Like, I was watching. I was pissed they beat the Bengals, but they beat us in overtime. Like, it was a good game, but they beat us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, as much as I hate to talk about this topic here, we'll let Rob get some run on this. Is Mac Jones the quarterback of the future for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think he still is. He's a rookie quarterback, right? For them to get as far as they did with him was somewhat of a surprise. I think obviously a credit to Bill Belichick, but I definitely think he's you go back and look at Tom Brady early on. Mac Jones looked like a young Tom Brady. You know, obviously, you know.
Don't say that.
You know, so I definitely think, I'm not saying he's going to be a Tom Brady, but if you go back and look at Tom Brady's early years, they're mirror images of each other, right? So I definitely think he's a quarterback of the future. They got to give him some more help offensively. And I think he's going to continue to grow, right? You know, it's just normal maturation process. He's actually outshined Zach Wilson this year. He's outshined Trevor Lawrence. So he's outshined all of those, Justin Fields this year. Obviously he got a better coach. But I definitely think he's not going to be that flashy quarterback, right? He's not going to be the quarterback that's going to be running all over the field, you know, throwing 70-yard passes like Mahomes. But I think he's gonna win between the years. I think that's where he's gonna win a lot of football games. And obviously he's gonna have the support of Bill Belichick. So I definitely think he's the quarterback of the future for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I think their focus is gonna be improving other parts of that football team, not the quarterback position.
Yep, there it is.
I agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly. When we talked about it, you know, we were laughing, but when Jacoby Myers is your best wide receiver, you're not really doing your rookie quarterback a whole lot of justice. Like, he's got a decent tight end set, but Jonnu Smith has been hurt, and he's been on and off, and Hunter Henry was good for, you know, the Chargers, but he also was hurt too as well. So, you know, they try to go with that Gronkowski kind of Hernandez, kind of look for him as a rookie quarterback with two good tight ends. But you got to be able to threaten the outside, because good teams are going to say, okay, if you don't have wide receivers that can consistently threaten the outside, and you only want to play in the middle with your two tight ends with a rookie quarterback, then they're going to start to keep creeping in. They're going to take their chances one-on-one down the field. And Mac Jones doesn't have elite arm strength. Like, he's pretty good with his accuracy, but he doesn't have a cannon by any stretch of the imagination. And he doesn't have any wide receiver that he can just say, jump ball, go get it. So if you mess around and give him, can keep those two tight ends, but give him at least one threat to go consistently vertical and get his own ball here and there
on the outside.
And make Jacoby Myers not be a one but be a two, and everybody else kind of slides down to the role they should be in, I think Mac Jones could be a very serviceable quarterback for a Bill Belichick-led Patriots team. So I think he can do it. But, you know, again, we talk about Burrow. You can't get Burrow, Jacoby Myers, and Nelson Aguilar and say, hey, go win. That's not going to work. And that's what they told – they had Mac Jones on. He doesn't have the help on the outside to threaten outside of the numbers and down the field. So when they get that piece resolved, and I'm pretty sure that's probably the game plan going into this – after they spent all this money in trades last year, going into this draft, I would think that would be a focal point. And maybe try to sell Devontae Adams if he can get outside of the franchise tag to go to New England. I think he's going to do it. I'm just saying they need somebody that can threaten the outside if you're New England. But I think Mac Jones is still a very serviceable quarterback in that system with Josh McDaniels.
So that's what you would call Tom Brady is a – that's what you call Tom Brady is a serviceable quarterback, as you guys were comparing Tom Brady to this guy early on.
I didn't say that. He said that.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I hope that they do. I hope that they do, because Bill Belichick is stubborn enough that even if he starts failing a little bit next year, if they only win 8 games, still think that it wasn't Tom, it was me, and he'll just force feed this kid to try and get something out of him. He squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and got a little juice out of this kid. That's what he got. There may not be that much left.
I don't know. You know,
I got him taking Chris Olave in the first round at number 21. The way it's going to be tough to get an elite wide receiver in free agency or better than what they have. I'm sure there's some serviceable. I got him taking Chris Olave at 21 right now, my latest mock.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a quick second. We're going to talk about how to fix the Cowboys. Just really quickly about Bill Belichick. You know, I think we talked about the Bengals are playing house money. I think the Patriots are playing with house money, because you got a situation where, you know, at this juncture, you're like, man, look at the fact that we got this far with Mac Jones, and he wanted him to get experience. Like, he gets playoff experience, and, you know your limitations with your squad. So you're like, hey, this is a great situation. I've gone further than I expected, you know, at this juncture. So now you can kind of assess the team. So that's where I think what's happened with Bill Belichick. You're like, hey, you know, this is great. We're kind of ahead of schedule, if you will, if you think about it. But like you said, we got a quarterback. We just add a couple pieces, like everyone alluded to, and we'll see what happens too. So, you know, but I agree with you, JQ, as far as if they just have just a deep threat, somebody that can clear up that field, you know, if you're throwing underneath, you know, you got just somebody with speed, right? Just, you know, take that off of, you know, just kind of threaten that defense, open up the running game, open up different things. And that's going to help out Mac Jones a lot. Like I said, he doesn't have elite arm strength, but just enough to kind of, like, put a threat in other defenses too. So you got to do that for sure. But that's what I agree with. That's what I think about the Patriots. You know, they're like, man, this is the point of house money, man. We didn't expect to be here, you know. But we got – Mac Jones got playoff experience. You know, he's going to lose, but it was good for that team, if you will. let's talk about your mock draft, Rob, for really quickly. And we're going to talk about – how we're going to fix the Cowboys real quick. I know you guys are excited about that, and then we'll get probably have to wrap up the show here with a couple of things, too. I do want to hear your thoughts about Ben Simmons when it's the season and some fantasy shout-outs, too, but that'll be fast. But, Rob, do your mock draft really quickly, sir, and we'll see how we play that out. So thanks for posting on the page, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm talking sports with a 12-man Facebook page. We got first and second round. So my first mock this year with first and second round mock. So definitely for you all fans, check it out. Obviously, Jacksonville's got the number one pick. I got them getting the offensive lineman, Evan Neal, with the number one pick. And I got them coming back in the second round and getting the Marvin Neal defensive tackle from Texas A&M with their first
wow.
two picks going in the trenches. Obviously, you got to protect the franchise if you're Jacksonville. Get them some more help in the trenches there. And then, of course, come back and improve that defensive line as well. Got Detroit taking Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end from Michigan, with the number two pick. Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon falls to number three to Houston. I got the Jets. Hey, the Jets got two first-round picks and two second-round picks. So, hey, I got them taking Derek Stingley at the cornerback position at number four. I got them coming back and taking Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver from Ohio State, at number 10. That it gives the Jets some much-needed help on the perimeter, gives them some much-needed help on defense. So huge picks for them. They desperately need a receiver. I actually got to take another receiver in the second round, John Dobson from Penn State, too. So
Ooh.
They desperately need some help
Elijah,
on the perimeter. They got to help Zach Wilson.
Elijah
out.
Moore? What's his name?
Oh, yeah, they got Elijah Moore,
so,
too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought
that
he was
That gives them
thing,
a nice threesome at the receiver position there. Much
Fair
needed
enough.
For much needed there. The Giants, another team, you know, desperately need some offensive line help. I got at number five, I got to take Mike Kim, Ekwonu, offensive lineman from
hey, Rob,
North
Rob.
Carolina State.
So you don't think they're going to get a quarterback? You think Daniel Jones is still kind of, you know, what's happening with that really quickly?
Not that
early. I think they're going to give Daniel Jones at least another shot. Plus they're going to get
okay.
a new
coach. I was just curious.
I think new coach
okay.
is going to see what they can do with him. I think they're going to give him another
okay.
shot. The Giants only has one caliber starting offensive lineman on their whole roster. That's Andrew Thomas. And he's a left tackle. He can maybe move over to right tackle. He can maybe move in guard. But he's the – if you look at the offensive line, those other four dudes should be coming off the bench on the practice squad. He's the only starting caliber offensive lineman. And
sorry,
that's the truth.
Okay.
I think you need to They should be either on the
right.
on the practice squad, or coming off the bench. That's what those four
okay.
dudes should be doing.
Gotcha.
The Giants need to get offensive linemen help. They need to get at least two offensive linemen in these first couple of rounds in this draft. They got two first-round picks as well. They desperately need to address that offensive line. And the sad part is, it's been a weakness of theirs for quite some time, and it's still a weakness. They haven't been able to rectify that position. Andre, your Falcons, they got him taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh in the first round. You know, is it time to develop a quarterback after Matt Ryan? In the second round, Atlanta's got two second-round picks. Got him taking Jermaine Johnson, edge rusher from Florida State, got really good speed, started out in Georgia, transferred to Florida State, got him taking the edge rusher there. And then Breece Hall, running back from Iowa State, got the Falcons taking him for their second pick. They need another running back, too. Mike Davis is the guy that should be coming in on third and one. Second and one, when you need a yard, you can give it to Mike Davis. If you need 3 yards, you still don't going to get you a yard. So you're only going to get
Mike Davis should be in the USFL.
Rob, the offensive line, defensive line should be our you know, that's pass rusher, offensive line,
yeah.
We should be focusing on, straight up.
Yeah, so you got the pass
rusher.
Yeah, I agree with the offensive line.
Pass deep.
I think it's going to depend on where the draft falls, too.
Fair enough.
Yeah, definitely will be intriguing.
Got to get a center,
yeah,
got to get a right tackle. I mean, that's just good, good. Sorry, good.
The Washington football team, they're going to have a new name coming early February, but right now they're still the Washington football team. I got him taking Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss, going quarterback. At
that's
the
an interesting pick.
Spot.
That's a good pick.
Hey,
that's a good pick.
And my surprise at the mock, I got the Browns trading up to draft Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty to compete
wow.
with Baker
Liberty.
Mayfield
wow.
In Cleveland. So I got them competing. I got them moving up.
Okay.
The Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, he just looked like a dude that was just – looked like he fits with the Baltimore Ravens, right?
He does.
And I got him going to Baltimore at number 14. He just looks like a dude that should be playing for the Ravens and playing middle linebacker,
yeah,
right?
Like it.
And,
I like it.
So I got him going number 14 to Baltimore. Philadelphia Eagles, 3 first-round picks. I got him taking Jordan Davis from Georgia at 15, Ahmad Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati at 16, and then at 18, they come back and get another wide receiver to go with Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama.
Oh, God.
They try to get Jalen Hurts.
They did that.
Some Hurts. Yeah.
Oh, my
don't,
God.
Don't let them see that draft. If they did that, Rob, holy ish. Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis. Man, who's running on that defense? Who's running on that? They
right.
had Jameson and Jalen Hurts will have no excuse if that's the case. Man. That, we don't want that. The Cowboys fans don't want that to happen at all. They're like, "Oh, please no! Don't see that mock draft. Holy shit, that makes too much."
Yeah,
here's
wow,
the thing about Jalen Hurts.
Round.
Here's Ooh. The thing about Jalen Hurts. You know, he's got to improve his accuracy over 30 yards. His completion percentage over 30 yards is horrible. So you got a guy like Devontae Smith. You get a guy like Jameson Williams. You got to start completing the ball down the field. And right now,
Ooh.
Under 30 yards, he's fairly accurate. Over 30 yards. That's what scouts are wondering if he's going to be starting quarterback. I got the Eagles taking a quarterback in the second round. I got at 51. Uh-huh. I got the Eagles taking Sam Howell from North Carolina to come in there and compete.
Oh, you might as well throw that pick in the trash and set it on fire. Throw that pick in the trash, set it on fire. If you're going to do that, that's just a waste of a pick. He sucks. Sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
Sounds like you really feel. Go ahead.
Trash.
Yeah.
How about my beloved New Orleans Saints? I got them taking Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah. Demari Davis still playing at an all-pro level, but he's about 34, 35 years old. So at some point, you know, you got to look at replacing him. The Saints really like Pete Werner, linebacker from Ohio State. He had a solid year as a rookie. But even though they
that
like him,
tough.
At some point, you're going to need another young linebacker with Demari Davis' age. And then
okay.
the Saints need weapons on offense, like never before, right? Jalen Weidenmeyer, tight end from Texas A&M in the second round to give them another weapon. They desperately need tight ends. Saints need tight ends. They need wide receivers. They need quarterback. They need almost every position on the offensive line.
Oh, my gosh.
They need almost every position on offense. The defense is solid. The Saints need almost everything on offense except running back. And that's
wow.
just the truth.
Just get the Cowboys.
And the fact that they went 9-8 with all those deficiencies was just mind-boggling this past season. Cincinnati, hey, I'd like to see them get some more offensive line help, particularly the left side of the line is good. But I'd like to see them get to improve the right side of the line. You got to protect Burrow. I got them taking dude from Michigan in the first round. Bernhardt. Ryman, he can play guard and center, improve the interior part of that line. I got the Bengals taking him at the number 25 spot. And I got the Bengals coming right back and getting another offensive lineman in the second round, Sean Ryan, offensive tackle from UCLA. Then we'll talk about the Cowboys here for Gary and Curtis. I got him taking another defensive back, Trent McDuffie from the Pacific Northwest from Washington Huskies. He's a guy that can play cornerback. He can also play the nickel, and also a guy who can possibly move in a free safety position. So he could be a versatile player. Got the Cowboys taking him 28, and I already mentioned Kenneth Walker, running back from Michigan State. As Zeke Elliott, they got to decide what they're going to do with him in that contract. Yeah, like I said earlier, I think he's still an NFL player. I just don't think he's worthy of that $90 million bill anymore. I think that they can convince him to take a pay cut, but if not, you got Kenneth Walker from Michigan State there in the second round. The rest of it, you guys can review the rest of the first and second round mock on the Talking Space, Talking Sports for the 12th Man Facebook page.
There it is.
I like the double up, but we need a quarterback too, because Eli Apple is not that dude. We need a cornerback for sure.
What do you think about? We're going to talk about how to fix. Oh, good, Rob.
You know, in the first round, I got Kai Elam from Florida going one pick ahead of Cincinnati, and then you got Roger McCreary from Auburn going 2 picks behind him to Buffalo at 27. So he got a couple guys in range.
I think Cincinnati is stubborn enough to where they might go cornerback. And then I think you said offensive line is the deepest part of this draft, right?
It is one of the deepest positions in this draft.
That's why I think they might go cornerback and then come back offensive line second round. Sorry, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah.
What you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching Golden State beat up on Detroit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going to
see
Cade
play. Really quickly, that's why mock drafts are interesting, guys, because we always think about what's going to happen, and we're going to talk about how to fix the Cowboys in the OT for a little while, too. Because, like, one mock draft had the Falcons taking the safety from Notre Dame, Kyle Hamilton or something like that, and you're like, yeah. Man, that's a totally, like, opposite, like, you know, but we need help in the trenches, man. So, you know, again, anything other than the quarterback, or that's like putting lipstick on a pig, man. You know, you've been ignoring the offensive line for so long. Man, you got to get that fixed unless you figure that out in free agency. That's the way you go and get those, you know, picks if you will, too, you know. But, you know, good stuff, Rob. We always want to give you a shout-out. We appreciate you taking the time to put together the mock draft and go into the second round as well, you know, because it gives us good fodder to talk to some things, too. And whatnot too. So appreciate that. Don't forget, you know, we kind of jump right into the show. Did get a chance to plug the Talking Sports Facebook page. So plug that, obviously. And then don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports as well, because we get all of that stuff as well. We're gonna talk about how to fix the Cowboys really quickly. We got about 3 minutes, and we're gonna get to the OT portion real quick too. Do you have some quick shout outs really quickly, and we'll go right into the closing the show, then we're going to fix the Cowboys and we'll wrap it up too. So let's do the quick fantasy shout-outs and go from there. So go ahead.
All right, fantasy basketball shout-outs for the week. Yours truly, my team, Trust the Process, had the biggest win of the week, 7-2 over Andre's team, triple-double. And then also Anthony Davis, the new 23, that's Rick and Austin, he also had a 7-2 win over Einstein Harden. Those are the biggest wins of the week. And Rondo in New Orleans, 16. Saints Pelicans, 23 in first place for the 76-39-2 record. So thank you all for the competition here in the Fantasy Basketball League. You guys recognize the music at the end of our live portion of the show. We got more to come in abbreviated overtime portion. So definitely make sure you click on this same link. Make sure you click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Hey, Cowboy fans, I know you're out there. You definitely want to tune into this OT portion. You got the Cowboy experts, Curtis and Gary, who's going to talk about how to fix the Cowboys this offseason and get ready to turn those sad faces into happy faces. Let's see if GMs Curtis and Gary can tell y'all how to fix the Cowboys. So stay tuned. So good night, people.
At one time, I finally got back in the first place in my division. I'm coming for you, Dre. Back in first place in the division, baby. Let's go. Yes, sir. Yeah. And all my Bengals fans, I was going to go to Nashville.
You owe me, JQ. I
helped
you out by getting
you
back in first place.
Yes, you did. Thank you. come on, Nashville, man. It's just a divisional game. They want $325 to sit in the 300 section to watch the Bengals and Titans. I said, no. I will be at home watching it on my couch. It's going to be 30 degrees out there. F that. Appreciate all y'all for listening to the show. I am super interested to hear what Gary's got to say about the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be fabulous. I'm going to sit back and not say a word. I want to hear this. It's going to be good stuff. Let's go, Gary.
Let's go, Gary. How to fix the Cowboys.
Yeah.
First of all, in the draft, I think if I were the Cowboys, I would do exactly what they did, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, when they started drafting, you know, offensive linemen in the first round. Everybody made fun of the Cowboys when they did it, but then they realized it worked. So now everybody seems to be picking those guys. That's exactly what I would do again, is start with the coaching staff, first of all. Start with the head coach. He's gone, McCarthy. His time management, his leadership.
Wow.
He's no better than Jason Garrett, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, I think
Jason
Garrett was a better.
I think you were singing his praises 2 years ago.
I think Jason Garrett was a better time management.
You did not say Jason Garrett.
Yes, I do. I think he was better at that than McCarthy is. I think McCarthy, the reason why he won his Super Bowl is because of the quarterback he had. You know, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. But the best thing I saw Jason Garrett do,
even if I had to hire with him. But guess what? There was a really, really good coach that just got fired from Miami. That's who I'd bring in.
I don't know. Gary Jones, he may not want to get a brother to coach, man. I don't know. We'll see about that, man. You know, I don't know, man.
Y'all be quiet. Let that man do his thing.
I'm a Brian Flores fan. I'm saying, he got the shaft, bro.
Still don't understand how Miami fired him. I really don't.
I would much rather have him than this guy that can't seem to call a timeout when he's supposed to. Can't seem to just get it together, you know. And he talks a great game. And you talk, you know, when you hear him on the, you know, on TV, he sounds like he really knows his stuff. But then we're analyzing the game, or we're watching the game as we're armchair quarterbacks and armchair coaches and GMs, as we all are for our teams, and we're like, call a timeout. You know, we're all these things, and all these mistakes add up, and it's just too many mistakes in a short period of time. It's, you know, Jerry Jones he's talking about his own mortality, right? He'd love to have a damn Super Bowl with, you know, without that team from the 90s. He would like to create that again. He's not going to create it with this guy here. I do not believe it.
So what you're telling me, Gary, hold on, Rob. What you're telling me, to fix the Cowboys, all you got to do is draft and replace the coaching staff. Draft some offensive linemen. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Again, I want to make sure I heard you correctly here.
I think they've got a good quarterback. I think they've got even with Zeke there and he's injured and hurt and stuff, between the two running backs, they've got a decent running game. I think their defense made definite.
Y'all were playing
lights
out. Y'all were killing it over the season, man.
Okay,
doing good.
So,
go ahead.
But offensive line is, you know, the offensive line is getting old and beat up and tired. They're not dominating. They're not getting that push off the line. You know, in some cases, JQ, you're right. When Zeke's got to go get that 1 yard or 2 yards. Before, it was really easy for him because those linemen pushed all those guys out of the way, and it was easy for him. Now, he's got to struggle to get it, and it's cost him his health by doing that. So, yes, beef up the offensive line, bring in a new coach. that can actually coach you guys and coach them in the locker room. You know, these guys, you know, if we're saying it, right, if we're saying it as we do, God, call a timeout. What the hell are you doing? I mean, you don't think these guys also are thinking the same thing? I would be. I'd be like, what the hell, Zach? What's he doing up there? Can somebody call a timeout here? Oh, fuck, I'll do it.
Good. All right.
You know?
good.
You know,
good.
So
Curtis
and I have talked about this. McCarthy's not the answer. He talked a good game, and he had a good resume, and Jason Garrett had a lot of 8-8 seasons. But I think if you keep McCarthy long enough,
and
you know, a team has, you've got a short window. Some of these, all these teams have short windows. And that window for the Cowboys, if they don't make some drastic changes, they're going to go right back to that freaking 8-8 thing. They've got to make enough changes, beef up that offensive line, maybe get a couple people in free agency. If they've got to cut a guy or two, like I had mentioned with B.
So be it.
You know, Zeke has done a lot of really good things for the Cowboys. And if I would love to eat my words as well and say, and next year him come in healthy and, you know, get some offensive linemen and actually be that guy again, you know, maybe that can happen. It's not going to happen with the offensive line that they have, and it's not going to happen with that head coach. Those are the things that I would fix. What do you guys say?
The thing is, if the Cowboys do get rid of Mike McCarthy, they're probably going to stay in-house and hire Dan Quinn. Jerry Jones seems to be a big fan of his. I think he would stay in-house and hire Dan Quinn over somebody like a Brian Flores. Not saying I agree with it, but it seems to be Jerry Jones is a big fan of Dan Quinn. Unless he can convince Sean Payton to leave, you know, Dan Quinn is going to be his guy. If they decide to get rid of Mike McCarthy. So it's going to be really intriguing. You know, I think you make some really good points about the offensive line for the Cowboys. I like to see them even get another, even though they were really good as far as rushing the passer and defense this year, I like them to get a little bit more stout in the interior of their defense, too. I thought the defense was good. I'd like for them to be a little bit more stout in their interior defense. The thing you like about the Cowboys, as you mentioned, they got Dak at the quarterback position. You like what they have on the perimeter with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
And then, of course, the tight end that they have there, Dalton Schultz. So you like what they have there, too. But these guys got to show up in big games. And that's what they haven't done yet, including Dak. They have to start showing up in these big games. It's okay that the last game of the regular season to put up 50-some points against the Philadelphia Eagles, and then you come in the next week and lay an egg and only throw 53% of your passes. And a part of that was the wide receivers drop some passes too. They got stars on this team. They got to stop laying eggs in these big games. And they need to go back and, you know, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but, you know, they got to go back and watch Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Alvin Harper. These guys got to come up and make big plays. They make a lot of money. Amari Cooper is over $100 million. There's only three $40 million quarterbacks in the league right now. There's Dak Prescott, that's Josh Allen, that's Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen had a field day this past weekend. Dak did not. The 53% completions, and there's you know, he's got to play like a $40 million. Zeke's got to play like a $90 million running back. Amari's got to play like a $100 million wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb is probably going to get a big contract at some point. Their stars have got to show up if they're going to have any chance of, you know, having a shot here down the road. I mean, Jerry made some really key, good points with the offensive line and the coach, but their stars got to find a way to start coming up in these big games. They're making way too much money.
No, I agree with that. I'm biased, but I mean, when you guys are running back playing with a torn PCL, Pollard is not a in between the tackle running back. You need to have him be in to be your change of pace back. But if you're going to have your main running back playing hurt and he's put it out to the line, I'm going to give him a pass because he could have shut it down and said, you know what, I'm not doing this. I'm hurt. y'all are going to keep running me through the coals trying to run hurt for y'all and say I ain't shit. But he's still doing it. So that's why I was like, I'm going to give him a pass. Y'all going to mess around, let him get healthy, and you're going to see something different. But my two things when I talk about the Cowboys are, again, the Reed was great for it. Shut up. Andy Reed was great for it when he was with Philadelphia. As you draft through the trenches, they need help, I agree, on the interior, on the defensive line. And at some point, you just can't keep relying on those dudes and that past success of drafting the offensive line, you know, 10 years ago and then letting that be it. You got to keep putting youth into the offensive line. I think they're good on the outside. You got Parsons and Deer Hunter in the middle. Like, they've got pieces on the outside. To me, the middle of that, of both of those lines really have to address. And the second piece is, we talk about Jerry Jones and staring his own immortality in the face, and I get that. And I would love to have Jerry Jones be my owner, but I got a cheap-ass Mike Brown who don't want to spend no money. At least Jerry Jones wants to spend money. He wants to try to put a good product on the field. But somebody in his inner circle, at some point, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen because maybe he's just too set his ways, is going to have to say, hey, bro, hey, you are the owner. You are not the general manager. You are not the head coach. There are no other owners that have their own radio shows where we all flock to the owners to find out what's going on with the team. You have to give away some of that power to people who are raised in this, that get produced in this at the GM and the head coach position, and not hire, you know, yes man, so that you can be the number one guy all the time. And that's going to be the problem with Jerry Jones until he figures that out. And if he doesn't, he may never see another one, Gary. And I'm sorry to say that, but I love his enthusiasm and passion for his team. And it's willing to spend money and give them a brand new stadium and a mecca to put them on that stage. But so he's able to look himself in the mirror or have somebody close to him to say, hey, man, you need to hire a strong general manager, not your son, not Jerry Jr., not Steven, a strong general manager whose last name is not Jones, and let him hire a strong coach and let them be the focal point of the team. And you sit back and put it into it, and you can hang around and do your little things here and there, but your radio shows every week where there's no other team where every Monday or Tuesday they go straight to the owner to talk about X's and O's. You know what I mean? The Dallas Cowboys are the only team that I can think of is where that happens for. And that's part of the problem. You have to have a strong GM and a strong head coach and let them make those decisions and go with the team.
Until Jerry Jones decides
to do that, I feel like unless he catches lightning in the bottle with one of those guys and they walk into his office and say, F you, I mean, I don't know how it changes. He keeps hiring yes man. Mike McCarthy is a yes man. Jason Garrett is a yes man. The last person that wasn't a yes man is the last dude that won him a national championship. Won him a championship.
Yeah, we know that. That's why Jerry Jones has to get – he has to get the limelight, Gary Curtis. I apologize. That's why you'll never get a dominant coach anymore, because he was upset that Jimmy Johnson was getting all the love. And, you know, he's like, well, I helped out too. Well, Jimmy was an architect of all that. Whenever he made that amazing trade for Herschel Walker and got all the draft, that set up the Cowboys and they got all the picks. And Jerry was like, what? You know, and then he thought Barry Switzer won because of, obviously, no offense, you know, Jimmy Johnson's players. And then from there went downhill. You know,
that was Jimmy's team.
You know,
exactly. Jimmy King.
So it's you kind of got – but Jerry has to be the guy. He's like, that's his ego, man. He's like, I am the Cowboys. And, you know, until he relinquishes that ego, which I don't think he will, Cowboys will never win again.
But I love 85% of Jerry Jones.
80%.
If you give me an owner who's going to want to spend that kind of money and bring people in and put his team on – to always be the leading rating team in the league. Like, I would love that for the Bengals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that about him. But he's got that 15 to 20% that he will not let go that's holding them back.
Yep.
And until he realized that, or somebody strong enough in his life can say, hey, and pull him to the side and say, you're the reason why this is happening, I feel like we're going to have to keep having the same conversation about the Cowboys. I really do. And I feel like it's going to go on with Stephen Jones, because I feel like he's inheriting that from Jerry Jones.
Sure.
Well, and I understand that. And you're talking about Jerry Jones as a general manager, and Stephen Jones as a really, he's the one the last couple of years that's really been the general manager. He's the guy that's been.
You need to give it up too.
Making a lot of the decisions on the drafting of players and stuff these last couple of years. What'd you say, Rob?
Steven Jones need to give it up too. They need to hire a real football guy.
Well, they are football guys.
But if you know what, in terms of personnel, they haven't been awful. If you look at that roster, they've got talent.
I mean, look at
they don't have bombs.
Look at if the general manager is calling the shots in the draft room, they haven't had a lot of busts.
Mm-hmm.
So in that aspect, they've done a good job. Where Jerry
but
Jones
have they acquired smart football players.
Yes,
that's
they
true.
Did. Yes,
they've got talented guys, but have they went out and got smart football players that's not going to have penalties in the fourth quarter on the defensive line, right?
That was rough.
You're a little bit of both, right? You got to have the talent, but you got to get the guys who's going to come in and not have the boneheaded mistakes too. You got to have the right vision for a player when you bring him to your organization.
And that's also, and that falls back into, I guess, the general manager, because he's got a Jerry Jones, because he's got to make those decisions on the type of coach he brings in. Now, what he did is he got a used car salesman in Mike McCarthy that sold them a really nice looking car with a bad transmission. It's
wow.
not going to get great.
Wow.
And that's
so
what I that's what I
man, what was Jason Garrett?
For real.
He told him that the engine was bad. But he knows that. That's my point. But he knows that. A piece of me knows that Jerry Jones knows that about them. And he says, you know what, but as long as I have that dude that I can keep under my thumb, who's not going to buck me being the focal point of everything Dallas Cowboys, he picks those dudes on purpose. And that's his problem.
He does.
He has to, those
he
two
does.
Dudes are not
he
going
does.
To buck the system. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I'm saying with Jerry Jones. He needs somebody that he's going to be willing to be challenged and have those ideas be able to flow without it being Jerry Jones saying, this is the way, and the dude saying, you got it. Like, he doesn't. Those dudes are not that dude. They've been those guys their whole life. That's who they are.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Good point.
Well, it's been amazing that we spent a majority of the OT portion talking about the Cowboys. And we'll let Curtis get his last thought, and then we'll wrap this up, if you will, too. And, Rob, there's some good topics I want to talk about. Ben Simmons, too. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Curtis just said that Jerry Jones is a control freak. He is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He
absolutely
he is. Mm-hmm.
But
God,
you see that picture? He
want to
go in the game and do it.
Look what he's created there. Look at what he's created there, you know. He bought a team
for
$255 million that was losing $1 million a month and made it into the empire that it is today. The sports franchise of any sports franchise of any sport.
Yeah, give him credit.
He did that being a control freak.
We're not, sitting on him from that perspective. We're just talking about
he's definitely a business guy. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, there's got to be a balance with ego, though, and like we talked about in football, because again,
hey,
the only five like
he's
that
said
that challenged him was
that
Jimmy Johnson.
Guy at the massage parlor in Miami. He's doing a radio show.
But that dude in New England. But that dude in New England did that, but he gave it to a football guy and let him take over. Now, football guy has won him 6 titles.
There it is. There it is.
Well, there's
you
hear
about Robert
Kraft there, too.
It's Jerry Jones.
I'm just saying, there's a part of it that had, he's turned that. He built a very nice stadium for him in Boston, got the right people in place, and he says, you know what? Y'all got it. Here, go get my free call. Now, that might be too far, but at least he – put the football people in place to take care of the football side of things. So you got to have
sounds like Curtis and Gary.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have that. I'm just saying. He got 6 titles out of it, right, though? Him and Jerry are really supposed to be the same guy, but Robert Kraft said, I know this much about it. He knows this much about it. I'm going to see that to him, let him have it. I'm going to go do this. Jerry still feels like he knows as much as the head coach and the GM, so he won't allow himself to go do that. So I hear what you're saying, but that's the 5 to 10% that we're talking about. I love what Jerry Jones does for the Cowboys, 85% of it. But the other 15%, he's got to fall back. And so he decides to fall back. I think we have to keep having the same conversation.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Stephen A. Smith is actually a complete fool.
He's an idiot. I mean, he just took it too far. Like, there's one thing to revel in it, but, like, he was bringing it up after every commercial break. Like, he was just on a whole other level the other day. It was stupid.
Showing the fans, like, 3 and 4 times. Like, come on, Stephen A.
Yeah, playing the songs underneath him. Like, come on, Stephen A. Like, I get it,
laughing.
But just too far. That's too far. Yeah, the fake laugh, like he was really laughing that hard every time. Come on, man. No, you're not.
Habitual line stepper. End of show, Rob.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had another fun night tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, which I believe is the 25th. Next Tuesday night. It's going to be the 25th, the last Tuesday of the month. You definitely don't want to miss the show as we recap the divisional round of the playoff. Get you ready for the NFC and the AFC championship. So everybody on the East Coast, Boston, Philly, New York, Miami, as Will Smith said in the song. Y'all tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m.
Miami.
Chicago, stand up. Yeah, there you go, Dre. You're supposed to cue it up. 10 p.m. Chicago on Tuesday night. Albuquerque, Denver. Yeah, it's going to be 9 o'clock. And y'all know I got to give my Fresno people that shout-out, right? Fresno, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 o'clock. Eugene, Oregon, 8 o'clock. Tuesday night on the 25th. Make sure y'all tune in.
I can't believe January is almost over already. This is stupid.
I know, it's unbelievable. There you go, Miami, 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. Tune in. Let us know how y'all feel about Brian Flores.
Absolutely.
Miami.
I'll let y'all next week, baby. Hopefully,
let's go.
I feel good about next week. I feel good about today.
What
do
y'all think about Brian Flores?
Yeah, that sucks. Curtis, Garrett, appreciate you guys. Curtis, get well, man. Keep fighting, man. As always, it's a pleasure to see you. Appreciate you taking care of him.
Yep.
Thank you, man. Thanks
praying
for bringing
for
the heat, man, coming in hot. You know, all that good jazz. And, Rob, we appreciate all you do, man, with the mock draft and keeping the topics going, too, man. So, again, we appreciate you.
I got rid of
that
snow in Atlanta
again,
yet?
No, it didn't.
Gone.
Snow,
hey, Rob,
call me
tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Good deal. All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk soon. Yep.
Good
all right,
night,
y'all.
People.
Peace. Be good. Good night.
See y'all later.